Here beginneth the first verse of the third chapter of the book of Samuel. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here I am. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that hear it shall tingle. Here endeth the lesson.
Father God, open our ears that we will hear you and not me. Open our minds, Lord, that we may think what is being said and may be challenged. Open our hearts, Lord, that we may respond to your call. And open our lips that we may forever praise you. Amen. Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Roy can probably remember Morse code, can't you, Roy? Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. And when he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clutter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned into the inner office. The young man filled out his form and he sat down with the other seven applicants that were waiting. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room, and he went through that inner office door. He walked straight in. Naturally, all the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. And they muttered amongst themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would probably be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled. The other applicants began grumbling with each other, and one spoke up and said, Hey, wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last one to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. And yet he's got the job. That's just not fair. And the employer said, Well, I'm sorry, but all the time that you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in, the job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it, The young man did. So he got the job. You know, we live in a world that is full of busyness and clutter, just like that office. So often people are distracted and they're unable to hear that small, still voice of God when he speaks to them. What about us? Are we tuned in to God's voice? Do we hear him when he speaks to us? Do we spend time listening in a quiet environment, having a quiet time with God? Now, I'm told that there are some advantages of being deaf. For example, Maggie is completely deaf in one ear. So to combat my snoring, she would sleep with her deaf ear upwards and the other one firmly into the pillow so she couldn't hear me. And even those of us that have got good hearing have, I'm sure, cocked to deafen, as the saying says, at some stage in our lives. When a parent tells their child for the 10th time to go to bed, they would often reply, "Oh, I didn't hear you the first time." I think you can all probably relate to that. Or maybe we don't want to hear a question that's put to us because either we don't know the answer or we know that the answer we might give to a person is not the answer they would want to hear. Sometimes people may even hear the message, but they don't fully understand the real implication, what is being said. For example, it used to amaze me when on a number of occasions, while as a police officer, a cordon was put in place. It might have been a bomb warning or a building that's about to collapse or something of that nature. And the amount of people that would come up and argue with you. You know, they would either say, "I want to go beyond the cordon," perhaps because they're being nosy, they want to see what's going on. Or some would say, "Well, look, there's an important thing to do. I've got to get into my office." And of course, I would argue and argue. I mean, but of course, I couldn't let them through. Now, I really believe that today's topic is so important to Christians and to those that are seeking God. And in 15 minutes, certainly I can only cover the tip of the iceberg. So to prove that I was listening when I did my course on preaching at St. John's, I shall use the good Church of England principle of a 3-point sermon that I was told I should always use, but very seldom do. So the first point I want to make this morning, how can we be sure that God still speaks to his people today? You know, I'm convinced that the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says this, Jesus Christ, and that obviously includes the Trinity, Father and God, Holy Spirit, is the same yesterday and today and forever. As we read through the Old Testament, we see many different stories of how God spoke to certain people. Like when God spoke to Adam whilst chilling out in the garden in Genesis 3. Or when God spoke to Noah to build a huge boat, even though he lived nowhere near any water. Genesis 6. Or when God spoke to Abraham and told him that he could have all the land that he set his foot on in Genesis 12. And how about God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, Exodus 3. Just to give a few examples of God speaking. Now the time gap between the events in the last chapter of the Old Testament, which you all know, don't you? What's the last book in the Old Testament? Anyone know? That's in the New Testament. Malachi, okay, is the last book in the Old Testament. Now, the time gap between that and when Matthew, the events were taking place, is just over 400 years. And it's known as the intertestamental period, or some people call it the silent years. Some theologians preach that God abandoned his people, or at least stopped speaking during this period. And I can't go along with that theory. Having read the Apocrypha, which we're not really encouraged to in the Church of England, but I think there's some good stuff in there, it covers a lot of those years. But man, the canon law, actually rejected it out of our Bible. And that period was far from quiet. You know, just read, for instance, about the brave tribe of the Maccabees, who fought the Romans when they defiled God's holy temple. John chapter 8, verse 47 says this: "He who belongs to God hears what God says." I'll say that again, okay? He who belongs to God hears what God says. I have no doubt that God never abandoned or stopped speaking to people within those 400 years. Whether everybody listened, well, that probably is a different matter. And certainly in the New Testament, there are many times when God spoke, for example, to Mary through an angel and told her that she would have his baby. Or when Paul saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus and heard him speak. Have you ever wondered how different things would be today if any of those spoken by to God had cocked a deaf one? More recent, let's think about the likes of Christians as Wilberforce, Lord Shaftesbury, Mother Teresa. They've all heard the voice and the call of God on their lives. And we know that their ministry enriched and transformed many, many people. Many years ago, my thinking and understanding of women in ministry was dramatically challenged and changed, I have to add, by a woman called Jackie Pullinger. She heard the call of God telling her to go to Hong Kong and set up a ministry amongst the drug dealers and the triad leaders in what could only be described as a rat-infested hell, both human and rodent rats run amok. Yet no missionary society would touch her. She faced rejection after rejection, but she was obedient to the call of God. She got on a boat with £50 in her pocket and she boarded that boat to Hong Kong. And if you ever want to see an example of the power of healing by the Holy Spirit, look no further. She got out of the boat, walked on water with Jesus and ministered in his name, and amazing things happened to even triad gang members, drug dealers, the lot. So much so, even the government there recognised her ministry eventually and encouraged her. If any of you have never heard of Jackie Pullinger, I'm sure I must have her book indoors amongst all my books and even a video about her ministry. Mind-blowing stuff. Okay, probably too long on point one, but I hope you've got the message. Just as God called young Samuel and all those I've mentioned into ministry, he still calls people of all ages, from young, like Samuel, to the eldest. Nobody is past their use-by date. So point two, how does God speak and how are we sure that it's God speaking? God can speak in many ways, obviously through the Bible, through the words of a hymn or worship song, by placing thoughts or visions in our minds, through prayer. Yes, it should be a two-way process, not just us giving up our prayer shopping list to God, but we should listen. Never be afraid or feel awkward when there's a quiet period during a prayer meeting. An ideal opportunity for God to actually speak to us. And don't spoil it by feeling obliged that you've got to fill the gap. You know, some of us are so frightened of silence, aren't we? That's when the cliches start to come out at prayer meetings. God doesn't like cliches. He likes you to speak from your heart. He can speak through an active situation or an incident. For example, Moses and the burning bush. And he can also speak to us via other people's words of knowledge and prophecy, just to name a few. So when we hear that voice, in whatever way that God chooses to speak to us, you know, make sure that we hear and that we are open to what he wants to say to us. It is also right to test everything we hear. Doesn't matter if it's Martin, Jeremy, or even me. Test what we say, that we get it right. How do we test it? Well, I think you have to say, is it in line with biblical principles and teaching, first and foremost? Secondly, is it honouring to God? Two very good ways of testing what somebody says. A useful tip that I shared with some of you last year, and I think it's worth repeating, is one that Maggie and I was told by the late Canon David Watson's widow when we were training for healing ministry. If God gives you a vision, a message, or even a thought, it's either for you or for somebody else, and you're unsure if it is from God, maybe because it's such a weird request, ask him to make it clearer. Or if it's not from him, to take it away. You know, even well-intentioned Christians can often visualise that which they believe God should or might be saying, rather than his actual will and purpose. And there can often be a vast difference. They have good intentions. You'll notice that if I ever pray with you, or God lays something on my heart to tell you, I will never say that God has definitely told me. I will say, I think God has told me this, even if I've applied the Watson test. Now, I do hope that you're as excited as me, as I see more of an openness to the Holy Spirit, as he prompts us here at St. Chad's. In many areas, I believe that he is coming in and he wants to do. Not new things, because, you know, they've probably been done in the past, but different things, you know, more powerful things. He wants us to experience the fullness of Christ in our lives. And I'm excited by that. And don't be afraid, you know, be excited and expectant. You know, can you think of anything more exciting than the very fact that the Almighty God of creation, wants to speak to us? You know, isn't that amazing? He wants to bless us. He wants to guide us. He wants to correct us. He wants to heal us. And also encourage us. And dare I say, let's look for the nervous ones out there, call us into all member ministry. Third and final point, how do we react? As most of you are aware, the leadership have all been encouraged to read the book that Martin mentioned, an excellent book. You know, I'm sure we've got copies you can borrow if you want to take one away with you to read. Because it's not just for the leadership team, it's for you and me. And what John Ortberg says in there, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out the boat. And, you know, it's based on when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water and he desperately wanted to join him. And Ortberg says this, water walking requires not only the courage to take a risk, but also the wisdom to discern a call. A man appears before the pearly gates. Oh, have you done anything of particular merit? St. Peter asks. Well, I can think of one thing, the man offers up. Once I came upon a gang of high testosterone bikers who were threatening a young woman. I directed them to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest and the most tattooed biker. I smacked him on the head. I kicked over his bike and I ripped out his ring that he had in his nose and I threw it on the ground. And I told him, leave her alone now or you'll have to answer to me. St. Peter was really impressed. When did this happen? The man replied, well, a couple of minutes ago. You see, there is a big difference between faith and foolishness. You know, there's a little bit added in, I think it's the end of Luke in some Bible, talking about walking on scorpions and drinking poison and all that, that they say might have been added later. Some people have tried it in America and died, you know. We have to use... God has given us a brain, so let's use it, okay? You know, even the normal, impulsive Peter asked, is it really you, Lord? Before getting out of that boat. You know, I'm convinced that God really wants to speak to all of us here at St. Chad's. For most, he will be invited to step out the boat, to walk on water, to experience something new. Maybe it will be a new ministry, or for you to come into a new dynamic relationship with him. For some, it may be that he wants you to take your first steps of faith. To get out the comfort of the boat and to test the water. When God speaks, how do we react? With fear? Or maybe we'll cock a deafen? Because what he asks doesn't fit in with my plans or the way that I like to do things. But there is no need to fear. I know, I've been there before, but God has proved to me that he was right, although I may have been fearful when he asked me to do things. You see, God will never ask you to do what he knows you can't or shouldn't do. But I would be fearful if God spoke and we either cocked a deafen or we didn't become obedient to that call. Because one day, we will all have to give an account of what we did and we didn't do for him when the book of life is opened in the book of Revelations. Just think, if Noah had ignored God's call, we might not even be here on the planet today. Have you ever thought about that? Although everyone around him thought he was a loony, I think I might have done at the time, building a massive ark in the middle of nowhere where there's any water nearby to float it in. But he was obedient to God's call. Let's pray. Father God, I stand here amazed that you, the Almighty God, the God of creation, still wants to speak to us today. Even if we've been disobedient or not listened in the past. Thank you that you never give up on us. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, but courage to change those things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.